The Old Testament reading for this first Sunday in Lent comes from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruits and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And as he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you are taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.' The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin, and clothed them." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundant grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us rise. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 4. This Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Luther's first question in his catechism about baptism is the simplest. What is baptism? And his answer to that question highlights one of the great hurdles of Jesus and the church's teaching. Luther answers that baptism is not simple water only, but it's the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. It's completely possible to see a baptism, actually to see anything that the church proclaims as from God, the Lord's Supper, the scriptures, the people gathered around them. It's possible to see baptism as simple water. It's a nice ceremony to mark a momentous occasion. That occasion simply being a birth or a new start. It gives an opportunity to gather friends and family to publicly recognize the occasion. But even with all the history and the fancy words, you could see baptism as just simple water. It could be replaced by almost any number of such ceremonies. If you ask me, I'd bet on the gender reveal party, enabled by our modern technology, as just such a simple water replacement. But Luther insists that baptism is not simple water only. It's water combined with the Word of God. It's a spiritual action. In fact, baptism is the start of the spiritual life. And the spiritual life doesn't just see nice little ceremonies. It sees water, blood, and spirit crying. It sees life coming here It sees the old Adam in us being drowned and dying, and the new man arising to live before God. It sees our sinful self being buried with Christ so that our sins might stay with that, and we arise to life in the resurrection like his. The spiritual life sees this not just as the start of the mundane life that we all share, but this font is the enlistment in the fight. And we fight not against simple flesh and blood, not against simple water, but against the powers and principalities of this dark realm. Our gospel text today is always the second part of a two-part story in the scriptures. The first part is the baptism of Jesus. Jesus presents himself to John the Baptist and tells him to baptize him with that baptism of repentance. And the Baptist tells him, no, that isn't right. I need to be baptized by you, Jesus, not you by me. But Jesus says, do it anyway, so that all righteousness might be fulfilled, so that all might receive righteousness. Jesus stood with us. Jesus stood in and under those waters with and for the entire history of sinners. And Jesus took our baptism of repentance so that we can get his baptism of life. But the second part of this two-part story is what these baptisms share. Jesus comes out of the water, and picking up in verse 1 that we read, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The baptismal life is not a delivery immediately into the paradise of God. It's not a return to Eden. The baptismal life is being led into the wilderness. You can come out of those waters and think they are just simple water and return back to our own private Edens that we think we are building. We can deny the truth of the life of following Jesus. And this might be the best and easiest time to do that. It's like the seed that fell on hard ground. The birds came and ate it, and it was never even affected. The ground never knew what it was turning away from. But if we see more than simple water, if you see the power and work of God, you know that the spiritual life is one of risks, of thorns and weeds and sometimes soils that seem too rocky. You know that the spiritual life, you must set out on things like every video game you've ever played. Levels, and antagonists, and maybe a few level bosses. Maybe even a big bad guy himself out there in the wilderness. But while the Spirit led Jesus out into that wilderness, that level boss wasn't allowed to come immediately. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. Now, if you're looking with simple water eyes, you'd read this passage as a crazy man making himself weak. But if you are with the Spirit, you know what this is. He fasted because the things of this world are a distraction to the things of the spiritual life. Like the seed that fell among thorns, Jesus says they are simply the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. The providence of the Father gives us everything that we need. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus fasted so that these things would not move him from his calling, but that he would be hungry for the right things. And he fasted for 40 days and nights. Again, simple eyes would see an inordinate amount of time. But the spiritual eyes see this as just the right amount. Just the right amount of time to be sure that the spiritual life goes deep enough to always bring forth living water. Unlike the seed that falls in rocky soil and never develops a root within itself, 40 days is the biblical time for proper preparation. Moses was on top of Sinai for 40 days. Israel was in the desert for 40 years. There are a bunch more 40s. Homework for y'all. Look them up. After his baptism, Jesus prepares for a fruitful life, for the fruitful life, because this is the life from which all other fruit comes. Now, this is the reason that we flip-flop baptisms. We, natural man, could never have gotten past the big boss at the end of the level. Satan would have had us as a snack. We forget that Adam and Eve in that garden had the advantage of having a nature that was not turned already towards sin. They had an actual choice. And they still fell for Satan's line. Our natural selves are already turned that way. Jesus, though, was the second Adam. And so when Satan put Jesus to the test, Jesus would not waver. He would send Satan away. And in sending Satan on his way, he opened up the way for all of us to follow. The spiritual life has a walkthrough now. Christ has walked the road for us. And Christ has defeated our great enemies of sin and death and the devil. And Christ has given us everything by his grace in these waters. And the grace of Christ is overabundant. Even though those waters would be enough in and of themselves, he's given us the supper, spiritual manna along the way. He's given us his word. He's given us this body of Christ to tell us the good news, and he's given us many other gifts besides. Yes, the walk of the spiritual life follows Christ, and we are called to walk through this wilderness, through a valley of the shadow of death, but our walk is heavenward all the way. Yes, we are called to pick up our cross and follow. But the angels came and ministered to Jesus, and Simon helped him carry his cross, and we too have our angels. We should also have the church, the communion of saints. We bear one another's burdens. We lift up the weaker brothers or sisters. And yes, we will have our times of trial and testing. And no, we will not always be as adept as Jesus. But we must know that we walk in danger all the way. If we should fail to watch and pray, if we fail to prepare, if we do 4 days instead of 40, we may be seized unawares. And there are times that this will happen, because we are sinners, because we are sheep prone to stray, because fasting is hard. The kingdoms of this world are shiny and attractive, but all of this in itself is preparation for our understanding the mercy and grace of God. The voice of the Good Shepherd calls us. When we wake up and find ourselves eating pig slop like the prodigal, the love of the Father calls us back. And the Spirit reminds us, testifies to us about the power of that baptism. It isn't simple water, but it's the promise of God. God, it isn't me or the church or anyone else that has claimed us, but it's God Himself who has put His name on us. And God desires to present us holy and blameless. We walk with Jesus all the way. Within His wounds, we find a stay. His path we safely tread. No evil will lead our soul astray, because Jesus abides with us, and we walk with Him. So what is baptism? Is it something that we will all forget tomorrow? Is it just simple water? Or is it the water and God's word combined? If it's simple water, you can go back to your life in about an hour. In a little while, nothing will disturb it again. But if it's the beginning, or the renewal of your spiritual walk, I'm sorry I've disturbed you. You might be heading into 40 days of preparation. There might be some rough days ahead. But I'm glad. If you see the spiritual life, you are on your way home. And it's the call to a meaningful life. A life that ends with the crown. And all of the angels long to see the path that your baptismal life will walk. How will you meet and pass the trials of following Christ? How will you be a fruitful branch springing forth in the wilderness? Amen.